Hi.
Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we have the beautiful and amazing and kind of overall badass Victoria Vox with us today.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. You are technically going to be the first person that I bring back for a round two, a second appearance solo, because I've had like Charlotte came on here, but then her and I didn't one with Casey, then yeah. Casey did one. So it's the first time someone's coming back by themselves. So
I'm special.
There you are. So I wanted to kind of bring you back because you and I are both heavy BDSM people. We really like this kind of stuff. We also play a lot together. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of wanting to, I don't know exactly where the conversation is going to go, but start it with talking about like BDSM and how it applies to your life and yes. consent and yada, yada, yada.
All the kind fun of things.
All the fun things. Yeah. So let's start with the super simple basic one, which is, what got you into BDSM? Like, what was the turning point where you were like, ooh, that's the thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a tough one for me to figure out because a lot of people assume that if you're into BDSM, it has something to do with childhood trauma or daddy wasn't nice to you or, right. you know, something like that. And while I've had my fair share of all those things, I don't think it has anything to do with how I grew up. I think it has a lot more to do with me really wanting to see people vulnerable,
right,
including myself. And no matter how much you want it, if it's hard for you to express, there's only a few ways that can make you do that.
Right.
And for me, that's BDSM. So until I figured out that I have a hard time being vulnerable and I have a hard time being myself all of the time in front of anybody, mm-hmm. I didn't really know that BDSM was what I was looking for.
Okay.
And I would say mostly in high school, my high school years experimenting with sex and everything else. I had a boyfriend or two that would start with choking or little things like that. And you figure out very quickly, oh, that's what I need.
Okay.
And so I think those are the types of things that kind of made me search more in porn for BDSM when I was just a viewer.
Right.
And watching kink and your site specifically was that's what I want. Okay. I want to do that.
So you didn't start with like a certain feeling. You didn't have this like, I need, there's a void and not the daddy or the abuse, but more of like there was a craving for something more. Or was it like someone smacked you or choked you and you're like, ooh.
Yes, that happened and still happens. But no, it was more of a, God, sex is supposed to be so intimate and it's boring to me.
Right.
It's just like, it's fun the first time you do it with somebody that you haven't before because there's the initial reaction to each other.
Right.
But that lasts for me like 2 seconds. Even to this day, if I don't have something that stimulates me from the other person, sex is boring for me after a while.
Okay.
And BDSM and heavy impact play specifically gets a reaction out of you. And
right.
you can't fake it. And that's what I need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Once you started, when you decided like mentally, like, okay, that's the thing I want. Like you've seen it, you were turned on by it. And then when you initially started doing it, like beyond I'm being choked and smacked on the ass and doggy style, like when you were like, all right, I'm going to jump in both feet and or head first and we're just going to do it. Was there a part of it that caught you off and you were like, oh fuck, I wasn't expecting that. Or was every part of it like, holy shit. And not expecting it being good or bad, like a smack and you're like, oh, I just pussy got wetter or some, so it could be either or.
Okay. I think a lot of my introduction are things that I watched, whether it's porn or just a typical movie. And you have this thought in your head that happens as you're watching a movie with some sort of violent scene in it or something that is supposed to be not consensual in the movie.
Right.
And you're sitting there like, yes, do it.
Consensually non-consensual.
Yes. That makes you start to experience those own things in your own life. And it can be as simple as somebody like explaining to you that they want to choke you or they'd like to slap you and they're asking you for that first. And
right.
you go, yeah, duh, of course that's what I want.
Right.
And then it goes from like that to, will you pretend to rape me?
Right.
Pretend.
Like, right.
Please catch me off guard because I want to experience that with you.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. And those are kind of my aha moments. Like, I just followed myself down this path of not being afraid to try new things.
Okay.
Whether it was BDSM centered or not. And I've just found through all my experiences that BDSM is what gets me off. And I think the more you're willing to try new things, and the more trust you can build with somebody, the more freedom you have to go into places that are like subspace, or know that the person that you're with is doing it for you and not because they like to hit women, because there's a difference and it's very easy to figure out.
Yeah. Well, there's that consent thing.
Yeah.
There's the difference between we as adults sat down, and we're going to just use the two of us since we're here. You and I sat down as a couple and said, I'm going to be the dom, you're going to be the sub, and we are going to have these rules, and you're going to serve, and you're going to do this thing because this is the DS relationship.
Right.
And if you're a bad girl, we are going to have punishments picked out for you. Mm-hmm. We are going to pick them out.
Yes.
Now, the opposite is, you and I are in a relationship. You did something that I don't like, and I punch you in the fucking eye.
Yeah. That's not going to make me wet as fast.
No, well, it's not going to make you as wet. We didn't sit down and talk about this as a play thing or as a scenario that we have decided that we were going to do because of the play that we were doing.
Right.
It's abuse.
Yeah.
And I was just talking with someone recently, and that this kind of came up, and that apparently this is coming up in court cases now where you have men abusing women. And when it comes down to it, they're like, 50 Shades, fuck. We're in a DS relationship. And right. I don't say the whole name of the book because fuck that shit.
Yeah.
But that's what these assholes are using. These abusive people are using that as a defense now that we're in a BDSM relationship. And I'm just like, that you fucker. It's hard enough to crawl out of this hole that we're in and having this dark veil over us. And then you've got people that are like, but this is what we're doing. And that's instantly forcing people to assume that she consented.
Right.
Or they. I can't say that every person on the bottom, so.
Sure. Well, and I can say too that the consent thing is so huge. There are many companies that do this kind of thing that I shoot for.
Right.
And I won't do the same things with them that I will do with you, because, you know, we've worked together many times now. So there's being familiar with each other. And we're friends, and I trust you. And every time we've worked together, we've gone like up another notch. It's not just, okay, today you're doing fucking machines and now you're going to be suspended with everything tied to you and I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
Right.
It's never been that. It's always been like working up to the next scene.
Right.
And that's been our relationship. And I think that there's a level of trust that you have that doesn't just come out of like, I know him, he's cool, it's going to be okay.
Right.
The level of trust comes out of like, I've seen him do this, that, and the other. He's done this, that, and the other to me. This is what I want. We're going to talk about it. And I'm going to hear what he has done in that realm. And I'm going to tell him what I want out of it. And then we go from there.
Right.
And I don't care if it's on camera or not on camera. You have those conversations with somebody that you're playing heavy with or playing it all with. Because the second it becomes about something that isn't centered around the sub and what they're trying to accomplish, it becomes abuse really quickly.
Right.
If the dom is doing something that pleases them and it's hard play, to a sub that is trusting that they have the sub's best interest in hand, it's not going to be mutual. It has to be a mutual thing that's been talked about.
Right. And I think that's where a lot of the ball gets dropped too.
Yeah.
And this is something I talk about all the time too, is that fucking ego that, and it's not just a male, it's a top ego. Mm-hmm. It's the, do you know how amazing I am? Watch how I throw these floggers. Do you know how I use a single tail?
Right.
Call me master or mistress. And they have this mentality that they are king/queen of fuck mountain, and that you should be so honored to be in their fucking, in their place. And it's, I'm trying to look. There's a guy who I know from LA. He goes by Orpheus Black.
Yes.
He is like this. I'm on his Twitter page right now. He's fucking, he's inspirational. Like the stuff that comes out of his mouth is just, he's one of the top people, and I'm not to take anything away from anybody else in LA, but like I knew him, we were friends, and he's very philosophical with his stuff, and he writes some crazy awesome shit. Like he's a sex educator, coach, and public speaker.
Amazing.
Founder of, sorry Orpheus if you're listening, Teja Kasina Meditation, sexual intellectual Zen philosopher who uses ancient wisdom to solve modern problems.
Wow.
And you usually would hear somebody say something like that in their profile and you're like, oh, yeah, you're that motherfucker.
Sure you are.
But this guy, this is probably still very conservative. This is still very humble with him. But it's because he's like, this is what I do. And that's him saying what he does humbly. Like he's that, like he's a deep motherfucker. Amazing. And he touches on all kinds of stuff. I'm never going to be able to dig back far enough to find the one, but he did one. You know what I should do? I go to my page and see. But he was like, I read his stuff and I'm like, fuck, I wish I could talk about this stuff as eloquently. What I should do is bring him on.
Yeah, that'd be incredible.
Because some asshole got on my Twitter account has been promoting the shit out of some podcast. I can't find the things I want to see. It's just podcast, podcast, podcast. Let me see if I can dig through and find it. But it's, like I said, I wish that people could hear him and hear the way he speaks about this, because he's got such a profound, fuck you, Twitter. I'll figure it out. I'll link it in the whatever. Yeah. But it's like he's just got such an amazing take on this. And it is. Like there's this, the quote that he had was, it was explaining, it was doing the breakdown of being the submissive. Because his thing isn't, if you come into BDSM and you're looking for a fix because you have this desire for someone to tell you what to do all the time, you're in the wrong place.
Right.
If you come in here because you've been abused and beating you is what makes you feel more numb, you're in the wrong place. Right. And these are not exact quotes of his stuff, so don't quote me, but YouTube. I've got some bad stuff playing up here.
Oh, no.
But it's like his whole thing is like, this is supposed to be good, and this is supposed to be positive, and it's supposed to be healthy, and as soon as it, and this, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
As soon as this is negative, like if, I know people who were abused as young people, and they have figured out a way to take BDSM and it empower them. It's kind of, you know, taking something back. Like you took this away from me, I'm taking it back and I'm going to make it good rather than being this destructive.
Right.
Like all I've known is this, so this is all I can do to feel like I'm loved anymore. And it's pure negativity rather than flipping it and being positive. Like the conversation you and I had about the waterboarding.
Absolutely.
So I think that's one of the bigger issues that I think people have with BDSM is they come in and do it for the wrong fucking reasons.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and that's completely fair. There's a huge part of why I love working with you that is extremely cathartic because of a lot of the things that I've been through growing up. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It is totally out of wanting to take back something that somebody else has taken from me, and that can be any level of control. There's something that's really powerful about saying, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want to experience, will you help me get there?
Right.
And then coming out stronger because you've faced something that you couldn't before. And that is a lot of what I experienced with the waterboarding and the SOS, and those are really, really powerful scenes that I'm very, very proud of, and on a level wish that I could show more people that I love and in my family and whatever else, if I thought that they had the open mind to watch it, because I think they'd be proud of me.
Right.
You know, and then that's what's different between like normal sex and BDSM, is there's something that you've accomplished at the end of like a heavy impact play session or scene or whatever you call it.
Do you think that is that, do you feel like it's therapeutic doing stuff like this?
100%. Yes.
I found one of them finally.
Okay, good.
let me double check. I'm about to read this and I was like, let me double check. Yeah, it's Wisdom. And I actually tagged it Wisdom from Orpheus Black. You guys go follow him on Twitter. Like he's inspirational with this stuff. He said, so what bugs me is the idea that dominance, and more specifically men, say that they want a woman who is submissive to them, and yet post memes that only depict women as one-dimensional beings whose only existence is to be obedient. As George Sands wrote, you do not want a woman who will accept your faults. You want one who pretends you are faultless, one who will caress the hand that strikes her and kiss the lips that lie to her. It is my belief, excuse me, that a dominant can't prioritize the duties of a submissive over the struggles of womanhood. It's not my job as a dominant to celebrate a woman's submission. My job is to praise, support, and empower her in all of her struggles while creating a space for her to be in her submission. To me, this is mastery. Wow. Like, I'm like, he's deep. He's fucking deep, dude.
That's awesome.
And that's not even the one I was looking for. The other one, I'm going to keep digging so I can find it. But I mean, he's, like I said, it's, this is supposed to be, the way I've always understood it. Like, this is supposed to be empowering. This is supposed to be something that improves all of us.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, I mean, whether you're doing meditation or whether you're studying philosophy or even BDSM, because there is a lot of it, because you have to be in the right space. I've had models call out last second and they're like, hey dude, I'm not in the right headspace. I can't do this today.
Yeah.
And I've had people also call in. They're like, hey, I'm having a really rough time in life and I need to be grounded.
Yeah.
Can we do this?
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand that it works both ways.
Right. It's similar to, let's see. When I was younger, my parents would make me go exercise when I was upset or angry or in a bad mood, because I get a really high exercise high. Like after right. you get done running or something, you get runner's high. And it's very similar to that. When you're done and you've made it through whatever it is you've wanted to accomplish, whether it's impact play or breath play or just choking or whatever level it is.
Right.
You have this sense of like renewal, and it's like starting a whole new day. It resets your thought process. It gives you perspective, and reminds you how strong your body is. Like, people always assume that it's all about being mentally tough.
Right.
I did not know I could hang from my hair. My body is incredible. There are countless things that I've discovered about myself just physically doing BDSM, like how fast I heal, or like knowing what kind of things bruise me and knowing, you know, I can do this for this amount of time until I bleed.
Right.
Stuff like that. And it sounds silly and almost superficial, but you have like a newfound respect for yourself when you're done and you're okay.
Because you made it. You yeah, did it. I feel like a correlation would be doing stuff like this, especially extreme BDSM like you do, mm-hmm. or we do together, mm-hmm. is the same thing as like these people who work their ass off in a gym.
Yes.
And they finally get past it because they plateau. And I mean, I don't know how much gym work you've done. I mean, you're a pretty active person.
Yeah.
When you're doing a lot of lifting, you eventually, at some point, you hit a plateau. And yeah. people, there's all of these different ways to get past it, you know, go back, come forward, push harder, blah, blah, all these different things. But that moment when you didn't give up, you didn't stop, or, you know, and you push past that plateau, or you wake up in the morning, the last thing you want to do, I don't have time, I don't feel like it, I feel like shit, I'm for whatever reason, and then pushing through that, and not even convincing yourself, just fucking doing it.
Yeah.
And there's that same kind of feeling, I think, that comes with the BDSM. Like, you go through this, and you are like, I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this, but I'm gonna fucking do it no matter what.
Yeah, you're absolutely dead on. And what's so funny about this conversation is I just had this conversation with Casey Calvert. And what I didn't know about her was that she rock climbed in college. And I played softball, and I was in college a power lifter. And
you were a power lifter?
Yeah, I was jacked in college.
Sorry, I just felt the movement in my pants.
I hot. Hold records. I hold, like, records for squat max outs and deadlifting.
What did you max out in squats?
Yes.
250.
Oh my God. Give me a little credit. I know it doesn't look like it now, but.
Oh, I mean, 250 is a hell of a. That's a. All right. 400.
525 was fuck my squat.
You make sure I never max get in front out. Of you when you're about to kick something. Fuck, dude. I
know. My legs are so strong. It's ridiculous.
That also explains your ass. I mean, you've got a phenomenal. I mean, the good Lord did something, but I mean, you clearly helped it along.
I helped. I added my own ingredients for sure.
Fucking over 500 pounds.
Yeah. Yes. And that's free weight. If I were to do like on a power cat or something that supports it for you, it's, I can do stupid weight. I don't know why, but my dad was also a power lifter, so I get a lot of it genetically.
Right.
But where I was going was if you're somebody that is in love with like coach mentality, with somebody giving you challenges to do that you know you can achieve, but it's more about how you execute them and how well you think outside of yourself and things like that. BDSM is kind of, I have noticed that BDSM kind of goes hand in hand with people who think that way. Like me and Casey, we right. talk so much about being on a team and loving to have somebody to compete with and loving having things scheduled very, very, very tightly and having no time for anything except for what you know is ahead of you during the day.
Right.
And it's interesting to me that, like you just said, the kind of people that thrive in those environments tend to be the ones that I'm like, hey, do you want to do a really heavy impact scene with me today?
Right.
You know?
And I agree. I think it is. You get to a point where you have the therapeutic part of BDSM, and then you have the challenging part that comes to where you're like, okay, I know I can do this, but mm-hmm. there's also the negotiation, like you and I talked about, to where it's yeah. like you come up and, hey, I've got this idea.
Yeah.
And I know I've looked and I've done research, and I know, JP, you can do, or you have done X, Y, Z. Uh-huh. This is kind of what I'm thinking. And then we have a conversation about it. And it's not right. like, do you like it? Sure, I like it. Can we do it? Sure, we can do it, and we're done. Like, right. there's detailed shit about all of the ins and outs of how it goes, which I don't think a lot of people understand when we're doing the extreme stuff that we do. Like, we don't just say, oh, you want me to do this? Fine, I'll do it. Like, there's a yeah. lot of back and forth all the way up to the point that where they say action.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's, like, I think we just did this project together, and we talked about it for, like, 2 weeks mm-hmm. at least in depth before we actually even were in here doing it.
Right.
And that is something that when I'm doing heavy stuff outside of work, I put that much effort into figuring out what's going to happen.
Right.
Because a lot of my ability to process pain or, not panic, which is huge for me
right.
in my scenes, a lot of that comes from the comfort of knowing that the person performing these things with me knows my thought process. They right. know everything that I want out of how I want to come to what I'm trying to overcome or right. like what I need out of the session. You know, they get that,
right.
whether it's on camera or off. And it's really easy to get egotistical when you go in thinking, you don't have to tell me anything. I know what you want.
I was about to start, be like, that's going back. I was going to circle back to that and say, this is where the ego has to be checked as a top. Like, you totally. Can't come in with a look at me and how awesome I am. You can't. You yeah. come in and you basically is a top to me. And call it service top. Call it whatever the fuck anybody wants to put a label on it. The other day, like, it's a facilitator. Like, you come in and you have a set amount of, this is what I want to happen. Whether it's one specific, like, I want to do the waterboarding or I want to do the extreme blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or we're doing an entire shoot. You have to check the ego, put it over here, because it has to be, it's not about me. It's about you, what you're going through, how you're going through it, how you're dealing with it, how you're coping with it, and how the overall experience is. And being able to read and go, she's right there, I need to pull back.
Yeah.
And having that one more after this, and she's it's going to get ugly and not be, yeah. it's not going to be hot anymore to her.
Right.
Not that you can't take it, but it's like there's a line, and it's being that attentive, you mm-hmm. can't have your ego in there. Like, the ego's right. got to get checked and put in a fucking lockbox somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and that's true of subbing too. And
I agree with that.
Because if I were to go into scenes egotistical, I would get hurt. The whole thing would be based off of, I can take one more, I can take one more, I can take one more. Right. And that's just not, I don't have to do that, because it's, I impress myself at the end of the scene, whether I've had a day where I take a really heavy beating or a day where I'm like, okay, I'm going to cry now,
right.
you know, and I break down. And those things happen. You're not the same every time you go in.
Right.
It's always a different headspace. It's always a different experience. And some days you're going to be able to do a lot, and some days you're going to not be able to. And right. that's totally fine, as long as you're not setting goals for yourself before you go in that right. you can't achieve.
Or your ego starts battling their ego.
Right.
And then that's just a fucking lose-lose all the way
yeah.
around.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, the ego thing is huge on each side, because I think egos ruin trust. They ruin your ability to think clearly as well.
Right.
And One of my favorite things to do, especially recently, is take pictures of the bruising or marking that I might have after a scene right. and show them to people who are close to me that get it. But I've discovered that you have to be very careful in that, because you show a picture to somebody that you're going to be working with or somebody who's a fan, and they get an opportunity to work with you, and they think that they can play with you on that level.
Right.
Wrong. I don't know you. This is the first time we've ever met. I don't want that from you.
Right.
You don't get to see me that vulnerable, A. And B, I don't know if you're heavy-handed. I don't know if you're experienced. I don't know what your strengths are.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of people just assume she did this with him. She can do it with us.
That happens a lot. I've had models come back to me and say, you know, I went on whoever set and they were like, oh, I saw you do this thing with JP, and specifically said, I saw you do this with JP. So yeah. I was thinking, and then the models, and I think this happened with you too, like, you don't get to do this to me. He did this yeah. to me. I'm not doing that with you.
Yeah.
Because it is. And it's not to take away anything from the male talent that's in this industry, because there's a lot of great guys.
Yeah.
And there's a handful, and I'm sorry, but there's a handful that mm-hmm. are really good at doing BDSM scenes.
Oh, yeah.
There's even a smaller a portion of them who are legitimately into it. There's the ones right. who understand it and can execute it well.
Yeah.
There's the ones who, okay, this is what I'm getting paid to do, and they're not really into it. And then there's some who have been hired to be on sets to do BDSM shoots who it fucks with their heart on. Like, they can't yeah. hit the girl because it's not their gig.
Yes.
Which I'll tell them, like I tell the girls, don't take the job. I yeah. mean, that's if it's not your gig, don't do it.
Right.
So there's that level of, okay, I'm going to learn it because I want to know. And then there's, you know, this is my thing too. And right. I've studied and I've practiced, but you know it when you walk on set, because the guy sits down with you and says, hey, let's talk about what we're going to do today. And yes. they initiate, where are we going? What are we doing? And when they have that same conversation with you as a BDSM director that's been around for a while that does mm-hmm. this, you're like, all right, he gets it. And I feel like it opens right. up the level of trust a little bit more.
Sure. I also will base a lot of what I allow other male or female talent to do off of how they fucked me before in the past.
Right.
There are a couple specific ones that I can tell based off of how they read my body when we're just doing sex scenes.
Right.
That I feel much more comfortable letting them, you know, hit me with something that's not a flogger.
Right.
Because I know that they are paying attention to me. And my right. body. And then there are others that, based off of the way they fuck me, they get way too into it way too quickly, and there's no way I would ever give them an implement to hit me with,
right?
Because they get out of control. And that's not to say that they can't top, it's just to say that they need to know that about themselves.
Well, they need more practice too. Yeah. Because yeah. I've said this several times on this podcast, that just because you know how to put clothespins on, or you know how to flog, or you know how to single tail even, it doesn't mean that you get to do it to every person the same way. Because right. every, like you said, and even you've come in here on days and you're like, fuck, come on.
Yeah.
And there's other days you're like, okay, come on.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, and you're not, you don't, and it doesn't mean that it's a worse performance or a less intense performance. It's that day, for whatever reason, and we all mm-hmm. know with everything that goes on in life, some days you feel amazing, some days you're okay, and some days you're fragile.
Yeah.
And you come in and you deal with how you deal with it. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, having a single speed, and it's my speed, it's my ego, it's me being the top, and you just shut your mouth.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
No.
Yeah.
You may do it for a while, but people talk, and you'll fizzle out.
Right. Yeah. Well, and some days I come in, and it's more about... it's more cathartic, so my going into subspace is easier and faster.
Right.
And I can control getting into the headspace to be here. I can't control when I go into subspace.
Right.
And what's really important about subbing that I never hear people talk about is not fighting off subspace. When you're going to it, you need to let yourself go into it. Because right. if you try to take the beating that you're taking after you've started to enter subspace, you're starting to put yourself in danger because you're not thinking the same. And you're setting off the goal that you set for yourself. If you're about to achieve what you've set out and you're putting it off because you want to seem badass or you don't want it to end, you're like pushing yourself away from the finish line. Right. And that's not fair to you or your dom, because they deserve the same satisfaction that they're giving to you.
Right.
And people never talk about that, but I had a partner that we were playing really heavy and he continued to beat me after I was like clearly into subspace, crying, breaking down.
Right.
And at that point for me, it's abusive and you're a big scary monster and I don't trust you anymore.
Well, you can't, because once you go into subspace, and for anybody that doesn't know, subspace is what happens when you have this incredible rush of endorphins from going through a heavy scene, whether punished, and it doesn't have to be physical all the time. Mentally, there's been people who shut off because it pushes all the bright buttons in the exact way that you need them pushed, and your endorphins release because it's gotten so intense, and you find this happy, euphoric kind of feeling, and it helps you also kind of get through what's going.
Right.
But like you said, at that moment, it needs to stop. And the reason, and I'm going to pause looking at you for a minute, it's not fucking consensual anymore. Because when you get to a point where you're that subbed out, it's the same thing as you being drunk or high.
Absolutely.
You're not 100% mentally capable of deciding things, and that's when you need to pull back. And I do it on scene sometimes with a girl. I see her floating, and I'm like, come here, bitch. You don't get to hide yet. You're going to stay here and do this. Yeah. But it's also because I don't want them, because I've seen girls, and you've done it to me once, where you just check out.
Yeah.
And when you're gone, you're gone. And there's no, but you can't do.
Right.
At that point, like when you checked out on me with the SOS series, I came in and I was like, oh, she's not that checked out. Watch this. Fuck, that didn't work. Vibrator, that didn't work. And I was like, all right, we're done.
Yeah.
Like there's no sense in going any further. And I remember and people didn't see this on camera, but as soon as the scene was over, I untied you and picked you up and walked you over to a chair. And then as I was putting you down, you kind of looked up at me and you're like, what are we doing? Like you were so like, I don't remember why are you carrying me? What happened?
Yeah.
And it's not. It's like when you check out to that point, you can't consent.
No.
Like you have to pull back and ease them back into it. But that's the aftercare that a lot of people don't talk about either. So.
Yes, that's very true. That day specifically was fundamental for me as far as being able to play heavy with you, because not only did we play heavy all day, but I understood at that point, okay, he has my back.
Right.
Because it's not an egotistical thing when you go into subspace, and that should be made clear. You need to be able to do that with somebody who is going to stop and not take advantage of you not being able to feel anything. It's like having anal when you're drunk. You don't do that to somebody. You're going to rip their butthole.
Like, no matter how much they're like, come on, daddy, do it.
Yeah, you have to be smart about these things because you will hurt somebody. And you could have hit me with a truck and I would have been like, you know, it's that.
I don't even think you were responding at that point. Like, I think you were dazed. Like, I remember getting in your face and looking at you and saying something like to demand your attention.
Yeah.
And you looked at me, but you were looking like back here. Like you were so like looking straight through. I was like, she
totally
doesn't even know I'm here
out.
Anymore. Yeah.
I remember getting untied. I remember going into subspace and then you checking me to see if I was okay.
Right.
And then you were untying me at the end and you were like, can you stand? I was like, nope.
Because you started collapsing with me.
Yeah.
And luckily we had Disco who understands the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great.
I need a, you know what? Where's it at? Hold on. I've been working on this. I've got a thing. Every time I mention Disco, because so anyone, you guys hear me say Disco all the time. His full stage name is Christmas Disco. So from now on, and when I talk about Disco, that's disco music.
That's great. That one's for you, Disco.
So, but you know, and he's the same way. He's worked with some of the biggest directors in the bondage community because he's worked for Kink his entire life, or not his entire life, his entire career as a videographer for porn. Mm-hmm. Like his entire thing's been with them. And so he worked under Princess Donna. He worked under Matt Williams. He worked under Lou Rubens. Like he's worked under like the elite. I mean, even the ones that aren't as infamous in front of the camera, he's worked with everyone. So he gets it.
Yeah.
And he's gotten all the good stuff and probably some of the bad. But 90% of the, I mean, he knows, like he sees shit and he can look at me sometimes and be like, hey, checker. Like he gets it. But the thing that gets me is to have someone who is that attentive and that aware of what's going on in BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even into it.
Yeah.
That's the thing that really blows my mind, that someone can be that attentive and it's not even his gig.
Right.
Like he appreciates it and loves the art of what's going on, but it's not like he's like, oh, I gotta wait. I can't wait to tie someone up. Like we joke all the time that he can untie everything I do, but he's like, if you made me tie it, I'd be like, I can't.
Yeah. Yes.
So, so you have someone who understands all of the signs and the tales and gets everything that's going on and the mental aspect of it, especially the mental aspect of it. and he's not into it, and you got these check me out kind of doms who are like, oh, I didn't realize that she had passed out, or I didn't realize she was in subspace, or I didn't, they've got every excuse in the world to not check their ego.
Sure. Yeah. So. And that's scary when that happens. That is, there's a specific company I shoot with and I like shooting with them, but I fill out my limit sheet thoroughly, because if you give them any sort of extra mile, they'll just take it and take it and take it and take it. And that's fine, but I understand as the sub that I have to spell it out, what they can and cannot do.
Right.
And I think that when you're working with someone and you can tell that they're a little egotistical, because we're all human and I understand that condition.
Right.
You have to be able to be a big girl or boy and say yes and no to these things.
Right.
You can always change your mind later. You can always try something later. Right. But if you're not sure, you can't act like you're sure. And we talked about this the other day. The first time I came to work for you, I was so nervous, and I probably very much underplayed what I could handle.
Right.
Because I've never worked with you before. I didn't know. I can't tell somebody, yes, I think I can do this, that, and the other, when I don't know what it feels like when you spank me. Because
right. You don't know how I'm going to spank.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm walking into. Right. And I rather the next time I come to work with you know it's going to be amazing because we had step one.
Right.
You know, and that should be carried into personal life, BDSM. It's never a showing off thing.
It's a progression. It's a growth. It's just this constant thing, which is a perfect segue, because notice I've been eye contacting with so long with you. I finally found it.
Good.
This was the first thing he wrote and I fell in love with. And this was pinned. Like, yeah, I'm very selective of what I pin because it needs to be important. Like the one I have up there now was me bitching about people that don't know what they're doing what
us
we do.
And them. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This one was pinned and it says, the wind blows and the grass bends. This is the nature of dominance and submission. Dominance is an assertive force while submission is a desire to not resist. For those who are willing to yield to a dominant, don't do so because of the dominant's nature. Do so because of yours.
Right.
And I'm like, I got chills under here. I'm like, it's just, he's deep as fuck. Yeah. Like, I need to see if I can get him on here.
Yes.
Because it's like, he's like, I could just be like, will you just talk to me?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Just sit back. I'm like, I don't have to, like, just tell me philosophy. Tell me how, because it's so insightful and so profound that he is able to put what people who do this and are deep into this and are like you and I, that with the way we think, he's able to put it on paper and put it down as a thought and articulate it in such a way that you're like, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't figure out a way, but that's the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Very well said.
So, but I think it's like, it goes back to the same thing we were talking about, like the ego and checking it to where it's like, you, when the two people agree that we're going to do this thing together, you and I are going to do this thing, I have to come into it with 100% intent that I'm going to do you right and right by you.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to harm you any more than you want to, obviously the fun play, but I'm not going to like pull up shit that I, especially because you and I are friends, to know if I, and I don't think I know a lot of dirt on you, but if I were to know some like trigger to reach in your ear and be like, and like, I'm, if you come in with this malicious attitude of I'm gonna break her, it's not a dom, it's abusive.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing as a submissive. If you come in and you're like, I need to be broken and I don't want to use a safe word, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
that's like, not safe. No. It just crosses into gray area, and you cannot have gray area doing this.
Not with this.
No.
Because it ends up in a shitty, and it's, I say that I use this a lot too, is that like people, when they top, there's a rush that we get our top biscuit from, because it's intoxicating to have that kind of control and power.
Sure.
But I feel like people mistake that power for, I don't even know if it's power. It's that someone gave you permission to use an ability that you have to give them what they need. Mm-hmm. And then you let that go to your head and be like, that's right, I did that shit. That bitch loves me now. And there's nothing wrong with thinking, fuck yeah, I did well. And she fucking loved that. And that was a positive experience for both of us. There's nothing wrong with thinking that, but being like, yeah, I own that pussy and having that kind of, it's like, stop it. That's not, but I also think that BDSM, Casey and I talked about this, BDSM and sex together, that's all right. Mm-hmm. But when you go as hard as like you and I do,
yeah,
it almost I feel like would taint it or fuck it up when it's like, okay, now that I've beat you and you're marked up and you're crying,
yeah,
suck my dick.
Yeah.
Not to say that I'm not in the mood at some point after that's calmed down, but during the actual part of it, like it needs, I need to be too attentive to you.
Yeah.
To do that.
Well, and
that, and not to say that there's not a place for that.
Right. I 100% hear what you're saying. And we keep talking about Casey, but it's because we both worked with her very recently.
Right.
And she thinks the same way that we do on these things. We were having a similar conversation about you, because we both have, Casey and I both have boyfriends off camera. Right. And
wait a minute, you guys are fucking other people?
We do.
Go ahead.
Yes, we are. Punish me. No. And we talk a lot about how being on set with you and doing these things with you, they're so different. Because it's not about getting fucked. It's not that, you know, being in our position, we don't want that. Obviously you want that, especially after you've been forced to have 10 orgasms in a scene.
Like, right.
If obviously you want that, but knowing that that's not what the scene's about, and then establishing that trust that we did day one, which is you're not getting fucked. I'm not here to fuck you.
Right.
I'm here to give you this. This is what you need in this way.
Right.
That's really, really important, because for me personally, throwing in the fucking adds extra emotional baggage to everything. Right. And if you're going to fuck me after you've beat me like that, be ready for everything that comes with it, because that's a whole other playing field. Right. That's...
That might even move into like the ugly crying mode where it's like, this isn't going
to
be pretty.
You don't want to see that. Right. There's a and you know, not to say anything about our relationship, but you don't get to see me that way.
Right.
Somebody else does that. I go home to every day. They
exactly.
get to see me that way. You know, just like for you, it's different. It's different there. That's a barrier. That's a line. And it's a limit that would interrupt my ability to work with you here.
Right. And that's something that I feel like a lot of people miss, is that there's a high level of intimacy that especially after you and I've worked together as much as we have, that no matter how intimate it is, like you said, there's still that next step that we, but it's the same thing with me. Like it's, and it's a reverse play, is it, where like you're not going to get that from me because I'm going home, and it's the same thing. Like there's a certain people, I get fans all the time. They're like, why don't we ever get to see your cock?
Yeah.
Well, it's because that stays home.
Yeah.
Like, well, it doesn't stay home. I take it on set with me. I just don't show it.
Comes off and on.
Yeah. Unscrew it. Take it away.
Yeah. You need a button for that sound.
Yeah, that's my zipper button. I just don't know. I don't think I have it queued up right now. I got to find it. I need to get, oh, here we go. Yes. Now it's ready.
Yes. Yeah, that for me, and it's so funny that you're talking about this and think about it the same way, because even in the school of submission, the day that you work with a male that is fucking you
right,
is so different, because I almost don't even think of that as testing. It's different to be conscious of somebody else fucking you. It almost makes, I mean, if I'm getting fucked, I can take a lot more beating because there's something else that my head's focusing on.
You're distracted.
Yeah, you're distracted. And for me, that day was wonderful, but it was much more distracting. And it's harder for me to get to a space where I'm going to be vulnerable if I'm distracted.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that having the ultimate fantasy of fucking somebody that beats the shit out of you the way you need them to is far better and helpful in the scenes than completing the fantasy.
Right.
It takes away from my ability to be relaxed, because I'd be worried about pleasing. I don't need to worry about that while I'm suspended.
Right. And it is, because it's such a different... And again, there's nothing wrong with sex and bondage. I think it's great. But if you and I were to say, hey, look, do you want to come over? We're going to do the scene. I'm going to tie you up and put you in a suspension and we're just going to have sex.
Right.
I may slap you a couple of times, but the goal of today is bondage and sex.
Yeah.
This is a different thing.
Totally.
But when the ass whooping's done, like between the real scenes that you and I do, to me, and this is the reason I'm the way I am, is there's the come here and give me a hug. And let's talk about it. And I go hang out in the green room with you and we talk. And there's that is deep of aftercare as I can give without getting on the floor and snuggling. And you and I've done that.
Yeah.
We've had the moment where we sat there and like, we're just going to sit here on the floor and we're going to have this moment. And there's footage on the internet of me doing that. There's this thing on, what's that? Tumblr. Mm-hmm. I think that years ago I did this scene and this girl broke. And it was a live scene and she broke and you see her just head collapse and she just starts crying. Beautiful. I walk over and hug her.
Yeah.
And that's all there is to it. And this thing had like millions, tens of millions, whatever it was. It was ridiculous. And it was, all it was me hugging her and embracing her. That's all it was. And it was people, that's when I found out that people actually cared enough about the real shit when they were watching this to see that moment. But I also, because it was live, so that's the reason it happened. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like when you and I finished with the waterboarding, that was... Mm-hmm. Us. The same thing like you said to me earlier, they don't get that.
Yeah.
That was us.
Yeah.
Kind of moment.
Yeah. Well, and a moment that we both knew was coming prior to doing it. Because of the level and things that we'd done before. And when I first asked you, you said yes, but we waited a few scenes before doing it because you needed to know me better and I needed to know you better. Especially that having to do with overcoming trauma for me.
Right.
That was a really big day for me. It still is. I can swim now and it's not scary.
Right.
stuff like that. And that's not something I would do with anybody else right now.
Right.
Because it was a you and me thing. And that the aftercare is extremely intimate in a way that sex isn't.
Right.
And it allows you to, again, appreciate what you're capable of, and it allows you to appreciate somebody being strong enough to take you there.
Right.
Most people can't do it because they don't want to see somebody be really sexy and then fall apart.
Right.
That's hard for people to watch. They want you to be sexy the whole time and want it the whole time. But when you get to a breaking point, everybody has to know that we're stopping now and you need the hug, or you need to be told good job, or you need to, whatever you need.
Curl up in the floor and just hold them.
Yep.
Without the words sometimes.
Yep, totally.
And I think that's, and it's, it keeps circling back to that ego thing to where you have to, especially if you're going to play as hard as we do with the things. And I mean, you don't have to, what the fuck do I know? I've just been doing this for 15 years with so many fucking people that I don't get to meet and go on dates and have discussions for fucking weeks before we play. Like I meet you 20, 30 minutes later, maybe an hour, I've got you tied up and there has to be that level. So, and I feel like it's so important to be so attentive to the way you breathe, the way your body moves, the looks on your face when I've stepped away and I'm behind the camera watching you watch me. Like there's all of these things you have to be so hypersensitive to. And if you're not, accidents happen. That's why we have safe words, but it's to consistently have accidents or you keep crossing lines. It's just, it's because you're not paying enough attention.
Right. Well, and the safe words are there to protect everybody. It's not just a sub thing. And I think when people try to not use their safe words, they're putting everybody in trouble. Because I've had fans say, I've never seen you do that. You've never said red on his set and stuff. I'm like, false. If you watch my waterboarding, I drop the metal piece like 10 times.
Right.
That's redding. Right. That is a stop. Stop everything right now. That's what that is. And people don't understand that it's about everybody there being, it's just communication.
Right.
That's all it is. It is just communicating. There should be no ego that comes along with saying, hey, give me a second.
Right.
That's all it is.
Slow down for just a second. Yeah. Let me catch my breath. That's more because it's, again, if you are paying attention, and I missed yesterday. I had a shoot, and it was, I usually have I got one more hit and I got to stop because I could hear the tones changing. And when I talked to her about it, she was like, well, I usually say it one hit early. And I was like, that's why. Cause I felt like shit. Cause like three or four times, I got a mercy, and she was like, no. I just say it one more, even though I know I can take at least one more before it's not fun anymore.
Right.
I just say it one early.
Right.
And it's, why are you saying red or mercy? You can't be that way. You have to be, fuck, are you okay? I'm yes. sorry, we're going to pull back. Let me go find something else to do.
Right.
And having enough in your repertoire.
Yes.
to be able to go find something else. And I mean, that's one of the things I feel like that makes it the stuff that I do extreme is I'm fucking with your feet and suddenly you can't take it anymore. And whether you say it or I choose on my own, which usually is me deciding you're done. Uh-huh. I move over to the nipples and then I do some spanking and then I do this. And that's why there's that. It's you. I don't know that it's so much that the girls are like, oh my God, I'm so turned on because he just fucking destroyed my entire body. As much as it is, you're so hypersensitive now because everything has been escalated to such a high level that the vibe is just one more like, oh, okay, I'm done. It's yeah. not so much that you're turned on that much as it is. You're just so sensitive to everything and
sure.
overstimulated, if you would.
Right. Yeah. Well, and a big part of it for the talent that you work with, from my perspective, is not having to ask for things.
Right.
You're really good at that. And it shouldn't, you're really good at it because you've been doing it for a long time. And you get off watching us communicate. Like right. you clearly like helping us accomplish something
more. I get off on putting you, helping you get to the place you need to be. Yeah. Like I said, it's like a facilitator. Like that's what gets me off. Do I enjoy the fact that you're screaming and you're upset and you're sad? Of course I do. Consensually, of course. But that's what I've always fantasized about. So I get my little top biscuit as yeah. well. But the part that gets me off is pushing and seeing you that accomplished, like, motherfucker, I just did it.
Yeah.
And I've done it. I've done it. Anytime I do the scenes, anybody that watches my stuff will hear me coaching you or mm-hmm. or cheering for you, like, you're a bad bitch, aren't you? Who's yeah. my bad bitch? Or yeah. who's my tough girl? And it's that atta girl, that patting on the head kind of thing totally. That is, I'm pushing you and I'm getting off on pushing you because I know that you wanted this on the level that you are getting it.
Yes.
And then seeing you do it and then that possible no, you're not done yet. You got, because yeah. you know you want one more. And it's not me convincing you to let me hit you again.
Right.
It's, you're so close. Don't give up because this is the moment where you need to get coached, if right. you would. So,
well, especially like you're talking about your scene you did the other day where you felt like you were off, but she was just doing one early.
Right.
That's awesome that she knows that, you know, okay, I don't really know this about him, so I'm going to protect us both by right. giving him one early, one extra. Because right. she can change that as the scene goes on.
Exactly.
And now you know that about her. And those are things that people don't pay enough attention to, and they don't give enough of a nod. You need to take that into your personal life. You need to take that into working with any sub. I don't care how well you know them. You right. always have to pay that much attention to them.
You do, because if you don't, like I said, it's if you don't, and even me, after 15 years, I don't think I'm the best at bondage. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I'm the best dom in the world.
Right.
I think I'm fucking good at what I do.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that the people work with me still work with me and the companies still pay me to do what I do after fucking 15 plus years now. It's like, because, yeah, I'm almost at starting 16 years. Fuck, I've been doing
That's
this.
Awesome.
That's really but cool. I mean, you don't get to do it this long at the level that I've been doing it, I think, without constantly growing and constantly yeah. improving and trying to be like, all right, that was cool, but I can do it better. Or yeah. that was. I never say that was the best I'm ever going to do because I know the next day I can try harder, the next day I can do better, and the next day I can be more attentive. So the next time
yeah.
I know that she's going to be one ahead, so I pay enough attention to go, I don't get that next one before the last one, I stop one early.
Right.
And not taking it personal that she didn't let me hit her, because it's not, I go back to this, it's not about me. It's about
yeah.
her every single time. So instead of being like, fuck, I didn't get to hit her the 10 times I wanted and yeah. I stated that it was going to be 10 times, I'm like, my attitude is, fuck, I crossed the line. I went sure. further, and not in a bad way, but I felt bad because I didn't catch it early enough to uh-huh. stop before she had to say it.
Right. Well, you know, it comes with learning each other.
Right.
Especially when you feel that way and not like, I know you wanted more.
Right.
You know, there's a difference there. But it also says something because the first time that I came to work here, I gave myself like this little pep talk that, okay, you've been watching this dude work since you discovered kink.com.
Right.
You've been into these kinds of things for a very long time. You know how they make you feel. So know that there's going to be a level of respect that you owe him after the scene is done.
Right.
And I think that is really, really important to understand when the scene ends and to not be confused about feeling emotions and to give them time to go away, essentially.
Or develop into what they're going to be.
Right.
Because there is that heightened, and I get what you're saying, sorry to interrupt you, but it's like there, because the intimacy that happens mm-hmm. on the level that does, because it's not like you can just go to a bar and say, hey, can you XYZ with the BDSM right. stuff. You can go to a bar and say, hey, I want to blow you in the bathroom, and then you can, you know, we'll fuck doggy style in the backseat of the car.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Come yeah. home with me and we'll do all that. But it's a little, it's more slim pickings when it comes to getting these buttons pushed the way you want them pushed.
Absolutely.
So there is, and I'm that way. Like yeah. when we do the SOS, I did it with yeah. you and Kristen, and both of you, as soon as it was over, that was like, I wonder where they are. Are they okay? Do they miss me? And yeah. and the wife was like, she thinks it's fucking hilarious because I'm walking around like a goddamn lost puppy for like a good day and a half because I have the same, because separation. We both went through yeah. the same thing, and yeah. I'm checking on you, and I'm thinking every night about how, what are we doing tomorrow? How is she doing? Is yeah. she, did I go too far? Let me trace the steps that I did yeah. and pay attention to what I did. And now I have to figure out how I'm going to exit. Cause I don't say every day. I know I have a basic outline. Day one is the breakdown. Day two is sex. Day three is the physical destruction. Basically where I destroy you and tell you, right. you can't do anything right.
Oh, I remember.
And then day four builds you up.
yeah.
But all of the things that happen in that very vague description has to be thought about after that, the prior day. So right. I go home. So there's all of this stuff that's going on. So yeah, I'm as in it as you guys are. Yeah. So I have that like, where are they
oh
at?
Oh God, is it okay to feel this way? Yeah. And it is.
I can't
it
even
is.
Jerk off right now because I'm sad.
Yeah. yeah.
That might be a lie, but.
I can jerk off when I'm sad.
cry and suck my thumb yeah. all day.
yeah. I think that my coping mechanism with that has just been to let myself feel the way that I feel and to right. be very honest about it. Like if I feel like texting you after and telling you how much I appreciate something, I will let myself do that.
Right.
But will I sit there and think, God, should I tweet him and then text him? Should I do this and then text him? Or I wonder if I can come over and do this and that and the other. No, you have to be very in control of your emotions after. And it's never wrong to feel anything.
Right.
But it's wrong to let your emotions decide things for you. And as much as that happens after it, with time and patience and letting yourself feel the way that you do, you get level-headed again.
Right.
And then you can build a real relationship with somebody that now you can go off of for the next time you shoot.
Right.
Or you can be friends, or and you don't have to blur the lines. And I think that's also why sex and BDSM you have to be very careful with, because
right.
there's a level of it that's intimate and for the right person, and then there's taking advantage of a very emotional situation.
That's a good way of putting that, that it's that taking advantage of a situation.
Yeah.
And that's where I feel like it doesn't work for me mm-hmm. in a way. It's because it's you are extremely fragile when yeah. we get there. Not you, but just most of the girls yeah. are, especially when they're as extreme as what we do.
Right.
They're extremely fragile, and it's almost manipulative to slide in and be like, sup girl.
Totally. Same on my end. I can see that you're all worked up, or anybody else, not just you.
Right.
And be a naked girl who you just beat up and be like, please, 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 I'm dying. Can we do this thing?
Right.
Knowing that that's not what you want. That's not what I want. It's right. a moment thing. And the difference between us and them, as you say, right. is that we can recognize that, appreciate that, and let people feel the way that they feel, let ourselves feel right. the way that we feel, knowing that you want what's best for me, I want what's best for you, and we can walk away from it, something very extreme
right.
and intimate as friends right. and let it be what it is. And I think that's really, really special and unique with BDSM, the ability to do that.
I agree. And it doesn't mean that it's less difficult. It's right. just as difficult that it, as anybody else. It's not like you and I have this own, we're the only two. Like, I mean, that's no. a big thing too. But it, I mean, I feel like it's outside of even BDSM. It's like in general, like you cannot let your emotions drive any decision that you make.
Absolutely.
I mean, I feel like the only emotion that you can have is just, and it's passion, but I don't yeah. know that that's an emotion as much as it is an inspirational drive.
Right.
But like, I'm sad, so I'm going to do this, or I'm horny, so I'm going to do this, or right. I'm happy. So those are, you can't act that way.
Yeah.
You can let that inspire you and come up with a plan and see where it goes.
Sure.
But there's that initial, I'm super fill in the blank, you have to step back and let that settle and see, do I really want to suck his cock?
Right.
Do I really want to take her out on a date?
Right.
Or whatever the situation. The only thing I can say for a fact is when the shoots are over, if there was the time and you had no one and I had no one, it'd be like, hey, you want to go grab a bite to eat?
Yeah.
Different. And we can come down together at that moment, but that wouldn't be anything
past beyond that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very similar. And it's because whether I appear that way or not, I do. I get very, very fragile. I can hold myself together, but that in itself is a form of manipulation to me, to not let the other person see how fragile you are. It's a mistake to do that. You have to be very, very honest and comfortable being in that vulnerable state, knowing that you're in front of somebody safe. That's better than anything else.
Well, that's the thing, though, is making sure. Well, I guess you wouldn't be that vulnerable if you didn't feel that safe, though.
Right.
So, okay, that's. But I'm just thinking, like, for people who aren't lucky enough to be in situations where you and I are a very controlled situation, where it's they go on FetLife, they find someone, they do the thing, they vetted them, they found out this is somebody who does exactly what I want, and I want them to do it to me. That part maybe isn't where you can be as fragile. And I guess it depends on the level of trust and where you're at. So it all kind of, it's all relative to the situation.
Well, I think it has, relative to the situation for sure. That's fair. Because if I'm looking for sex, I don't come here.
Right.
When I come here, I listen to like grunge music, something that puts me in the mindset that I need to be to come do this job.
Right.
And afterward, after everything is done, I have to decide how to handle myself, because you're a new person. You're starting over. You're in control of yourself, but you have new emotions. You feel empowered and happy, and somebody else feels happy for you because they helped you get there. And, you know, it's, you grow a lot with BDSM because you learn to be in control of those emotions. And you learn that just because I have this very intimate connection with somebody doesn't mean that I have to fuck them.
Right.
It's, you don't. And personally, it has allowed me to have really intimate, close connections with people that don't beat me up and people that I don't fuck.
Right.
Because I now know how to process those emotions. However, I took my time figuring that out. You know, you fuck up a million times before you figure that out.
Yeah.
But that helps you not be egotistical when you start knowing that this is not about fucking somebody. This is not about even getting them off. It's about helping them accomplish whatever it is in their head that they want to accomplish.
Right.
For both people, you know, for a sub and a dom, you're serving each other more or less.
Exactly.
And I think people miss that. Just because the word is dominant doesn't mean that you're in charge.
Right.
And
that's just the role.
Yeah. It's a role.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just because you're a submissive doesn't mean you don't have control. You have the control in the room.
Right.
And any dom that tries to tell you otherwise is not safe. That's my personal opinion.
I mean, I agree. I'm 100%. I broke that wall down years ago with on Kink that I was like, you know, I don't play that game where I'm it's very clear. I've said it on video. I've said it during interviews that I'm the facilitator. You come in and you have the three pages. And I actually went over this with Angela White, like on the podcast. I went over like exactly what our checklists were and how in depth they were. And then compared it to if you go to a spa and you say, I need a deep tissue shoulder and neck rub. I'd like the hot rocks and I'd like the hot towel on my face.
Yes.
You're not going to sit there and specifically say, make sure you do it clockwise with a half twist and the temperature has, you trust them to do what you've asked them to do. And it's the same thing. Like when you come in and say, hey, I like flogging, unless you're very specific about the don't touch the spot, you have to kind of trust me. And it's the same thing. I feel like there's every person has their role. You're the one who comes in and you've decided this is my role as I want to be on the receiving end of what he's doing.
Yeah.
But you could just as well flip those titles and that role. And it doesn't matter because, I mean, at the end of the day, think about that. Think about if you were to reverse the roles and give you as the bottom, the dominant tag.
Right.
And me as the top, the submissive tag, because you came in and you told me what to do.
Right.
You didn't tell me how to do it, but you said, you're going to flog me. You're going to suspend me. You're going to put me in rope. You're going to put nipple clamps on me. You're going to, here's all the things I want you to do.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm just serving you.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'm doing what you want. So you could easily flip those titles. Sorry, fuckers.
Yeah. Don't mean to ruin it for you, but that's the truth.
That's kind of where it comes down to. But what we're doing is I get off on being mean and hurting people and watching them cry, yep, and then enabling them to get past that and be a stronger person afterwards. And that's what I do.
Yeah.
You get off on allowing those things to happen to you,
yeah,
and wanting to get stronger.
Yeah.
And whatever title you put with that doesn't, right, matter. You could be coach and teacher or student and whatever, yeah, you want to put on it.
But that's the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, so, you know, I think I've had some fans recently talk to me about trust, because I've said it 10,000 times already and I say it a lot, trust, right, and knowing each other. And they ask me things like, well, if it's about, you know, limits and setting boundaries and stuff, what part in it does the trust actually play? If there are things that you can do and things that you absolutely can't do, why do I need to trust you so much? And I think the main reason why is protection for each other, but also to stop things that are not consensual from happening. Like, you know this from playing Cards Against Humanity with me, that,
right,
I hate to read out loud. I hate it. I can't, I'm terribly dyslexic and it will make me cry,
right,
to do it. Being in a situation where a Dom then gives you a fucking paragraph of the hardest words to read,
right,
or they have you spell out loud or something, to me, that is not okay. And that's abuse of trust, because I've trusted you to expose me, but to not make me...
to ridicule you.
Yeah. And there's a difference there. And I think that if it's not an ego problem, that's the other problem that people don't pay enough attention to in this kind of relationship, because it's not... that's a kind of breaking that isn't healthy.
Right.
And there, that needs to be recognized. And I've never written down, don't make me read out loud on your set.
Right.
But I have done that on other sets. I write things like, I'm not reading anything out loud and I don't want to be asked to spell out loud.
Right.
Because there are people who think that making you feel that way is breaking you. And yeah, it's breaking me, but I don't ever want to come back to your studio. I don't ever want to play with you again.
They made it super ugly, and it's, yeah, not that you take the sexiness out of it.
Right.
Because you can be, and I use that term a lot too with it, when I'm describing stuff. I was like, you know, if you say, I love to be slapped in the face, right, and I walk in today and I slap you in the face, and, yeah, my next term is, if it's not sexy today,
yeah,
say so and we stop.
Yeah.
And there's a, and just because you said it doesn't mean that we have to continue to do it, because, and that's what it comes down to. There is... what makes you feel sexy when you're being dominated,
mm-hmm,
or tortured? And then there's the, okay, I'm getting through this and this is horrible and I just want this to end. That's not sexy and it's not fun. And it's a one trick pony.
It doesn't mean you know me better. It doesn't mean that you know my mind better. Mm-hmm. You're not playing some psychological game with me, right, other than you're being a fucker and you need, yeah, to stop.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
I had a guy, a male talent, and he is not in the industry anymore, but he, way back in the day when we, for all of us, on the internet started doing boy girl bondage sex, and this guy my boss liked and really wanted to use him, so I brought him in and he was a cocky little fucking bag of shit. So sorry, the silence was for people watching, not for people listening. So he was walking around one day, and he, like I said, he was just cocky as fuck.
Yeah.
He thought he was like God's gift to everyone.
Lovely.
And he, I'm talking to the girl and I'm having a conversation the way I always, you know, we're in the, who knows what we're talking about. And he was like, you know, JP, I think I'm a better dom than you, or I'm a better dominant than you. And I was like, I'm sorry. And he was like, I'm a better dom than you. And I was like, well, what makes you think that?
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, go ahead. Cause now, yeah, you're about to make yourself look like an idiot.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I mean, you say that, you know, you're tough and that you're this and you're that. I can make a girl go red so fucking fast it'll make your head spin. I was like, you just lost.
Yeah.
Like right there, you, yeah, just lost. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, it has nothing to do. Going red is a fucking accident.
Yeah.
When they say red, you slipped. You didn't do your, yeah, job right when they have to stop you.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, no. I'm like, dude, I can punch you in your fucking throat and you're going to say red.
Right.
Because you fall down and gag. So, yeah, I was like, that doesn't mean you're good. That means you're an asshole.
Yeah.
And
fine.
He
you're
was
better
like,
at hurting women? Fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Move back to the park.
Yeah.
And I love people. I lived in trailers for a while, so I don't mean that people in trailer parks are bad. So don't, please don't think that. I just tease. So yeah, it was he, but that was his thing. He thought that that was what made him a dom, is he could make you say red and call your safe word. I'm like, dude, you missed the whole fucking point.
Right.
Like, and I went to the boss and was like, I know you like him, but I'm not shooting him anymore. So if you want him shot, you do it.
Yeah.
So we stopped shooting him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big misconception that this is where you come to be beaten up or taken down. And right. we say beat up or, you know, stuff like that, but that's not what it is. It's no different than being on a set that is super romantic and it's all about chemistry and making chemistry happen.
Right.
Same thing. It's the same thing here.
Yeah.
And it may look scary because it's in a dungeon, and it may look different because you're all tied up or this, that, and the other, but it is the same kind of chemistry you're looking right. for. And I don't think that should ever be overlooked on camera or off camera. It all has to do with consent and putting your ego aside.
Right.
Take it back afterward and tell yourself how wonderful you are for helping the person get to wherever they needed to go.
Right.
But it has a shelf to be put on when it's happening.
And if you want to gloat about how awesome she thought you, or even she, gloat about how the submissive that you touched that day walked away from it in a positive note.
Yeah.
Talk about how badass they were and that you got to help them prove how badass. Or you can brag about, you know, what you did too, but it always ends with, well, I had this really fucking great tie today. She was a badass and could hold it for X amount of time.
Sure.
So it's you can still be even braggadocious, so mm-hmm. to speak, but you have to do it in a way that it's always, it can be about how good you are, but it can't be about how good you are and neglect who allowed you to be that good.
Yeah.
Because I say, and I've said it earlier today, that I'm just some weird guy standing in a room with a vibrator in my hand dressed in black. you take the girls away and I got rope laying around me. Like if you remove the girls, it's really weird.
I'd kind of like to see that scene.
I'm gonna have to take a picture. I've spoken about this before. So, but it's a team effort. It's not, you know, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I can go around and say that forever, but at some point the models who love me the most are eventually going to be like, he's kind of getting annoying. Like he's always talking about how good he is. He always talks about how badass he is. I mean, we ran a campaign on kink years ago and it was supposed to be the meanest motherfucker on the internet.
Yeah.
You know how hard that was for me to even claim that?
I can't imagine.
Because they were like, you need to shoot a video. We're going to do this big marketing push. We're going to do this campaign and blah, 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 blah. And it was horrible for me because I'm not this braggadocious shithead.
No, you're not.
I had my PA and disco like yelling, say this. Cause I was on this rotating thing and there was these like six or seven cameras that were aimed like in all these different places and these pools of light. So I would be coming into the pools of light saying, and it was phenomenal when it was all finished.
Sure.
But the shooting took, I think it was like a 2-minute thing when it was all said and done and edited. It took us like 3 hours because I could not, because they're like, say blah, blah, blah. And I would go to say it and I'd start laughing, or I'd be like so like squeaky awkward about it because it's just, I don't brag like that.
Yeah.
So, alrighty. Fuck, it's been an hour and 15 minutes.
Nice.
That fucking flew.
It did.
I'm going to stop it here. And I say that because I feel like
we'll just keep going.
We could keep going, but I feel like if you're down, we should do this again sometime and become where the, because this is what we talked about. Usually, you know, last time I was like, let's talk about music and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was a get to know you, where this was very specific about BDSM and trust and stuff. So maybe I'll come up with a topic and we'll do this again. And Casey's the same thing. Like people, as soon as they heard the Casey thing, they're like, you guys should do that more often. So because that's when I was like, I'm going to start with Victoria and then we'll do, because the people that are in here, I feel have enough of an opinion that people listening are going to want to hear, oh, I never thought about it. It's the same way when I was reading the Orpheus stuff. Like you hear it and you're like,
that's what I've been trying to say.
Yeah. I understand exactly what they're saying, but I wasn't able to articulate it that way. And I feel it's the same way with talking very specific, like we did today, is that people get to hear it and they're like that. And I've never been able to tell my partner that, but now I can say, hey, go listen to this. So you understand what I've been trying to say.
Yeah.
So we'll cut it here.
Amazing.
And we'll definitely have to do this again.
Please.
That'd be awesome. Thank you so much. This was awesome.
Thank you for
having me. Until next time. See ya.